This is the Talk Show America Show.
Folks, and welcome to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks. It is Tuesday, July 26th, 2011, folks, and again, we're making tangled webs, weaving tangled webs in the world of politics here, folks. It's just unbelievable. We have the debt ceiling debate still going on, still being talked about as we speak. We have a Representative Wu who now is being accused of sexually molesting a 15-year-old girl, which was evidently a daughter of one of his friends. I mean, just unbelievable, folks, the things that are going on. You know, we have Barack Obama who is basically playing politics with the economy, folks, no doubt about it, playing politics with the debt limit. And definitely, it's a political game, folks, all the way around. It's a political game all the way around, not only with the president, but with the Congress. It's just unbelievable. There's one congressman we'll talk about today that says this whole debt ceiling thing is a political charade. So it should be interesting to see, you know, what happens today on the show when we get to some of these things. We talk about them, but it's just unbelievable. It's just a constant barrage of things going on in Washington, D.C. Most of it not good, folks, at all. We'll talk about a couple of polls today also, folks. Congress, we'll talk about a poll that has Congress at a new low of 6%, folks. 6% approval rating. 6% of people who think Congress is doing a good job, the rest of them don't. Sounds about right. We'll talk about that poll a little bit today. And also, if I get a chance, I want to try to get to a poll that talks about the Republicans eking 10 points over the Democrats with the economy as far as the people are concerned. But also within that poll, it shows that, for the most part, the country sides with the Republicans more than the Democrats on almost every single issue except for education. Just amazing indeed. We'll get to that if we can today. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this the debt ceiling and the debt ceiling debate because, you know, Speaker Boehner backed away from the debates with the president over this issue. Of course, everybody's running around with the sky is falling attitude that we're going to default and our credit rating's going to go down. You know, Standards & Poor's did talk about dropping it, folks. But again, as I said before, we can live without raising the debt ceiling. It's possible. Unfortunately, for some of us, I guess they seem to think that hey, we can't do that. Yes, we can, folks, and we must. But I wanted to get to Speaker Boehner's situation here because, as we know, he's backed away. And he's looking at the possibility of a compromise. Now, some people are going to scream and holler and rant and rave and say, well, we don't want to compromise. Listen, I understand in the political world in Washington, D.C., this is what they're trying to come up with to make it, you know, to make it look like everybody's trying to come up with what's right for the country. It's all political, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's all political. We all want to believe it because we know it. It's all political. It's all a political game. Basically, the compromise, in the opinion of many of us, folks, is not worth the paper it's written on, because here's the deal. It just doesn't go far enough, folks, and it gives the president and Congress a lot more power than they should have. And it's talking about invoking this super Congress, a super committee, as they put it, that's charged with producing $1.8 trillion in 10-year deficit reductions. Now, that may sound like a great thing. Say, yeah, Jay, what's wrong with that? They're going to reduce the deficit by $1.8 trillion. If they do it, folks, that's the thing. If they do it. Let's go over some of the bullet points here, folks, why Boehner's compromise is not what we want. We'll give you a summary. It's a summary of the problems with Boehner's plan based on a cursory review to this date. Now, first of all, Boehner's plan violates the cut, cap, balance pledge, folks, that the Republicans are talking about. It violates it, first of all, because it does not cut spending sufficient to reduce the deficit next year, and therefore, and thereafter, may not produce any deficit reduction at all next year. I mean, that's point number one, folks. It does not cut spending sufficient to reduce the deficit next year and thereafter, and it may not produce any deficit reduction at all next year. None. So we have to look at that. That's not a good deal. Secondly, it does not cap federal spending, which is what we're trying to do here, folks, and thus does not put us on a path to a balanced budget. Instead, it caps only discretionary spending, which is already capped by definition and equals only 39% of the budget. Discretionary spending, folks, is already capped by definition and only equals 39% of the budget. This plan that Boehner, this compromise, does not cap federal spending and thus does not put us on a path to a balanced budget, which is what we're looking for, the balanced budget, you know, cut, cap, and balance. So if we're looking for those things in this in the bill, why are we going to take this compromise? Now, number three, it increases the debt ceiling without first passing a strong balanced budget amendment out of Congress. So we're going to increase the debt ceiling with the compromise, even though it may be temporary or whatever it is. It doesn't cut spending sufficient to reduce the deficit next year and thereafter, and it may not produce any deficit reduction at all next year. It does not cap federal spending and thus does not put us on a path to a balanced budget. And it increases the debt ceiling without first passing a strong balanced budget amendment out of Congress, which is what we need, folks, which is what we're looking for, which is what we're trying to do, cut, cap, and balance. Now, it increases the chances of a tax hike by giving significant legislative power to a 12-member super Congress, super committee, whatever you want to call it, folks, charged with producing $1.8 trillion in 10-year deficit reductions. So it increases the chance of a tax hike now by giving significant legislative power to Congress, to this 12-member super committee. Now, do you really want to give Congress the power to increase taxes? You know what's going to happen the minute you do. I mean, they have the power to do, but you know what I'm saying, folks. It increases the chances of a tax hike by giving them significant legislative power to do so. You know what's going to happen right then and there. And this 12-member super committee or super Congress, as they want to call them, we don't even know if it's constitutional, folks. We'd have to find that out. Now, the compromise also gives the president the power to unilaterally raise the debt ceiling by $400 billion, subject only to enactment of a congressional resolution of disapproval. I mean, this is a variant of the McConnell red cut and run and hide proposal, basically. And folks, again, you know, this is doling out power we do not need to give these people. It does not, by the way, folks, despite House Republicans, the House Republican leaders' rhetoric, reflect the spirit of the cap, cut cap and balance pledge of the House passed act. I mean, it does not do it. The cut cap and balance act. It does not do it. It doesn't reflect the spirit. Now it's unnecessary this compromise because the House has already passed the cut cap balance act H.R. 2560, which does not reflect the spirit of the pledge. It doesn't, despite the conventional wisdom that the act is dead. It is, in fact, remaining parliamentary alive in and could be passed by the Senate. So these are things, these are reasons why, folks, bulleted reasons why, that we cannot allow this compromise to go through. If it goes through, well, I mean, we can't really do much if they decide to do it. We can only, you're going to have to get on the phone, folks, and call Boehner's office. The number is 202-225-6205. That's 202-225-6205. And let him know that we don't want this compromise to go through. It's outrageous, folks. And it does not follow the original plan of the cut, cap, and balance pledge that the Republicans said that they were for. As I said, I'll go over them real quickly again. It does not cut spending sufficient to reduce the deficit next year, or thereafter for that matter, and it may not produce any deficit reduction at all. It increases the debt ceiling, which without first passing a strong balanced budget amendment act, which is exactly what we need to do. We need this balanced budget amendment out there to be able to control spending and to make sure that our budget is balanced. It increases the chances of a tax hike by giving significant legislative power to a 12-member super Congress or super committee, whatever you want to call it, folks, charged with producing $1.8 trillion in a 10-year deficit reduction plan. It gives the president, which is even the biggest problem that I have here, the power to unilaterally raise the debt ceiling to $400 billion. I just decided I'm going to do this, subject only to an enactment of a congressional resolution of disapproval. And so, folks, all the way around, and it does not, despite what the Republican leaders have been saying, reflect the spirit of the cut, cap, and balance pledge or the House passed Cut Cap Balance Act. It just does not. We've got to keep watching this, folks. I mean, I know that Speaker Boehner is trying to do what he can. I know he's got party people to please. He's got the country to look at. But this isn't the solution to the problem, folks. It is not the solution to the problem. And we are not going to, fall off the edge of the earth if we do not, raise the debt ceiling. It's as simple as that. The president will have to make hard choices in what gets paid, no doubt about it. But we won't fall off the planet. I don't know. Maybe they're going to reduce our credit limit. But I think that's going to happen anyway, folks. I think it's going to happen anyway. Look at the position we're in. It's going to happen anyway. I think it's going to happen globally to a lot of countries. Whether we like to see that or not. I mean, I understand the frustration. I understand people, we want to try to make sure that we are able to borrow money if we have to. But we've already borrowed too much, folks. We have to start capping, cutting, and balancing. It's as simple as that. We have to start. And this, it violates that pledge that was made by the Republicans because it allows these things to happen. I'm going to try to get this up on the blog in a little bit so that you can see it at TalkShowAmerica.com, www.TalkShowAmerica.com, folks. To get up on the blog, you can see this in writing so you'll understand what's going on. We need for this, compromise to be shelved and come up with something different. This is not going to do it, folks. So even though, we're talking about possibly the 11th hour here, we have to turn around and try to do the best we can to contact, our congressman, specifically Boehner in this case, at 202-225-6205, and tell him to hold firm on the cut, cap, and balance and dump this compromise. It just needs to happen, folks. It needs. So you can call your representative, for your area. And call Speaker Boehner's office as well, and let them know that this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. If you're a Tea Party member, folks, if you're a Tea Partier, not necessarily not a member of the Tea Party does not have a central membership, but if you're a member of a Tea Party anywhere across the United States, this should concern you, and that we should be trying to make sure that this does not get through, because this opens the door, folks, to them discretionarily doing whatever they want. We just can't have this. I'll tell you something right now. You look at as I said, that poll earlier, 6% think Congress is doing a good job. And if that's the case, folks, do we really trust Congress to take care of this problem with the budget and the deficit and the debt ceiling? Do we really trust them to be able to do this? So do we really trust giving them more power to be able to discretionarily do what they need to do in regards to this? We need to keep the American people's pressure on our congressmen to make sure they do this right. And this isn't really even a Democrat or a Republican thing, folks, as much as it is a a plea for sanity, a plea for common sense here, folks, to cut this spending. Because if we do not cut the spending, folks, we are not going to get out of debt. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be worse. There's no doubt about it. We keep raising the debt ceiling. We just keep buying more stuff. We keep just putting in more things. Hiring more people. We need to get out of this, folks. We need to reduce the debt, not add to it. So the compromise is not going to do that by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to allow loopholes where they can sneak through and do some things that we shouldn't allow it. But number one, if we're not going to cap federal spending, we're already in trouble. If we're not going to cut spending, we're already in trouble. To reduce the deficit, we're already in trouble. If we're going to increase the debt ceiling, we're already in trouble. And every single one of these bullet points that I just talked about are in that compromise. We do not need that. That's, to me, it's not even, what type of a compromise is it? It's a temporary fix to a problem that really doesn't exist. If the debt ceiling is not raised, we will not default, folks. We have enough money in the Treasury right now to pay the last quarter's interest on these loans. More than enough in revenues in the Treasury right now. So and basically that's all we're paying anyway. So we're not going to default on the deficit. It's not going to happen. So think about these things that I talked about. As I said, after the show, I'll put this up on the blog, talkshowamerica.com. You can go over these bullet points yourself and take a look at this. And make a decision on your own based on what you see here in writing. Just unbelievable. We have to address this. We cannot allow them to sneak this through as if it's we come up with some victory. Look what we did. We were able to stop this because it's really basically it's camouflage. It's not going to stop. It's not going to cut, cap, and balance. It's not. And that's the big problem. That's what we're trying to do. So. They can name it anything they want. It's what will happen that we have to worry about. All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Talk Show America Show.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BVB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you so you save money with all our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. We're back on the second half, part of the Talk Show America Show here, folks, and we thank you for taking time out of your busy day. We certainly appreciate it. Okay. Now, let's get back to this debt ceiling a little bit. I mean, I want to try to move away from this a little bit, but, you know, but it's so important to our country right now, folks. It really needs to be talked about. But all over the map now, we have people who are telling us that it's you know, if we should not raise the debt ceiling, it's not the end of the world. We have congressmen, folks, also, who's actually admitting that this debt limit debate is a charade. Now, this happened on Saturday in California. Democratic Congressman Peter Stark told people at an audience at a talk he was giving that the debt limit is a political charade. Now, this isn't exactly what the president wants the American people to hear when he's trying to convince them of the utter, complete, and immediate need to raise the limit. Peter Stark says it's a charade. He says, quote, "You've heard a lot about the debt limit, and I guess that's, and then he goes on to say, I don't know how many of you are worried about it or concerned about it, but the fact is, it is a political charade. I'm afraid that the Democrats have done this that in the past. Threaten to shut down the government. I don't think there's a chance that will happen. I think the last time somebody did, they lost enough seats in the House of Representatives to convince them it was the dumbest thing they ever did. It doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't help anybody. And to extend the debt limit is nothing more than people have described it, than that the government's credit card doesn't run out of resources." That's exactly what we've been saying this whole time on the show, folks. Exactly what I've been saying. Remember I told you about the household budget and your credit card. Basically, this is it. You just keep raising the limit on the credit card so you don't run out, and you just keep charging on it, and it just keeps going up. He goes on to say, and we all know we have more debt than we should be carrying, and there's a fight going on. Should we raise your taxes to lower that debt, or should we quit government spending? And obviously, everybody wants the government spending to be quit. Absolutely, folks. There is a YouTube on this. I'm going to try to get that up on the blog as well. The bottom line is that Stark is right. It is a political charade, because it's a political charade for these reasons, folks. It is based on politicians saving their bacon with their constituents, with their political cronies, with their people who have propped them up politically and paid money into their campaigns and things of this nature. It's a whole charade. If the debt ceiling does not get raised, we will not, folks, default, number one, and we will not go under any faster than if it does. If we raise the debt ceiling, we're in more trouble all the way around. No doubt in my mind about that. And that's the key. And here we need to realize that if we raise the debt ceiling, the spending will become the sky's the limit. I mean, Obama wants to, in that plan that we talked about earlier, being this compromise, they want to be able to give Obama the ability to raise the debt ceiling indiscretionally by $400 billion. I mean, this is just ridiculous, folks. We do not want this. We just keep going. I mean, they talk about $400 billion now like it's a drop in the bucket. And that's in itself is a problem. And I think that we have to realize that we have to step in and be the responsible people here, because the government is not, your representatives are not, Congress isn't doing their job, the president's not doing his job, and say, no, we don't want these things. No, we don't want the debt limit raised. No, you're going to have to figure it out, Mr. President, just like we figure out what we're going to be able to pay and what we're not going to be able to pay in our household budgets when we can't afford any more debt. We have to start figuring what we're going to cut. What we can afford to cut. In other words, what we don't really need, and then go from there. Now, this is something that Obama doesn't want to do, obviously, and I understand that. But the bottom line is, folks, it is what needs to be done, and this is the problem. Nobody wants to face this. Even the Republicans, they want to sit here and make some kind of a compromise, because Barack Obama is going to make it the Republicans look like, well, they're responsible for the downward spiral of the economy because they wouldn't raise the debt ceiling. So they're afraid of that, folks. Because why? Because they're afraid that they're not going to get reelected if that's the case. You know, the people that want this, folks, the people, the Tea Party members that want this debt ceiling, they don't want it raised. They want to cut spending. They want to cap spending, and they want to balance the budget. They're going to vote for the Republicans, even if for some reason or other, well, in this case, the debt ceiling doesn't get raised. Even if, for some reason or other, it looks like the economy is spiraling down, because this needs to be done. This is what they don't get. They're not getting the urgency of this matter. The American people have had enough of this government running out of control. I don't know how much more plainly it can be presented to members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. The American people have had enough of this. It's been going on for too long. And it's not only Obama's fault. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that this was going on long before that also. But it's time for it to stop. It's time to find a way to stop this out-of-control spending and reduce this government down to a smaller size that still works efficiently and gets the job done. And it can be done, folks. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be done overnight. But if we don't start doing it now, it will never get done. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing behind this debt ceiling debate as well. If we do not stop raising the debt limit, we will never be out of debt. I don't expect we'll be completely debt-free as a nation. That's almost an impossible thing, and I understand that. But this out-of-control debt needs to stop. And the more I hear these politicians talk, the more I get enraged, because I'm just tired of these people. They're not looking at the whole picture. All they're looking at is their political heads. Where are they going to be? Are they going to survive politically? That's all they're worried about. They're not worried about what's going on with the country. Where the country's going to be in 10 years or 20 years when our grandchildren and our children, are adults having to face these problems. Now, no one expects an easy fix overnight, and no one expects it to be pretty and in a nice little package and all wrapped up. But we expect action. We expect something to happen. We expect, of course, the Tea Party is, Republicans and conservatives. We expect our Republican leaders, the GOP, to respect our wishes and to vote the way we think they should vote. We don't, compromise is fine. If the compromise was worked. And worked it out, it's not a problem. But as I just spelled out, and as I said, as I'll put on the blog, the compromise doesn't work. It gives Obama too much power. It gives the Senate too much power, and it doesn't address the problem. And it seems to me like all it does is raise the debt ceiling, but it makes it look like we didn't raise it too much. Folks, if the president can unilaterally raise the debt ceiling by $400 billion just because he wants to, forget it. $400 billion doesn't sound like a lot of money anymore. Isn't that crazy? $400 billion sounds like it's a drop in the bucket. But that turns into trillions. It's almost a half a trillion dollars. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, we have got to get out of this mode or we will never be out of debt. Never. And here's a congressman telling you that the whole thing's a political, he's admitting that it's a political charade. And that's Peter Stark, a Democrat from California. He's admitting it's a political charade. I'll get this up on the blog also, because I think it's important. These things are important things that you need to hear, folks. Just unbelievable indeed. It really is. It's a big joke, folks. This whole debt limit raising deal is a big joke. And I look at the whole debate, and it sickens me to watch our own party, the Republican Party, on the Senate and the representative side, trying to come up with some type of compromise. Now, I understand you want to try to compromise, but if it works, that's great. But this isn't a compromise, folks. This is just a smokescreen and a camouflage to make it look like they compromised. It's basically the same thing. We'll be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show, so don't go away.
You're listening to the Talk Show America Show.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
Hey, Talk Show America fans, log on to ScottFuller.net and experience the Scott Fuller Show.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks. And, of course, we appreciate our brave men and women who fight for our freedoms every single day across the globe. Please remember them in your thoughts, and please remember them in your prayers. And please remember to go to americasupportyou.mil, folks, where you can let the troops know that you appreciate them very much indeed. Doesn't cost you a dime. Go up there, send a note to any soldier, all the soldiers. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your sacrifices for our freedoms. It is greatly appreciated. It doesn't cost you one red cent, folks. americasupportyou.mil. There are also some care packages up there if you want to get involved in some of those things. They do cost a little bit, but that's entirely up to you. It's you know, that's a decision that you make. But in the meantime, as I said, it doesn't cost you a dime to send the soldiers a line and just let them know that we appreciate them. It's tough during these times, I know, with all the turmoil and the tumultuous activities going on in this country with regards to the debt ceiling and Congress and everything being out of control. And, you know, it's difficult sometimes to remember that our brave men and women are still fighting in the global war on terror across the globe, folks. So please keep those brave men and women in mind when you're about your daily activities. It takes but a minute, and it means a lot to those soldiers over there. Okay. All right. So, you know, I wanted to get – we're still talking about the debt ceiling, and I'm going to still go on to this because it's important, folks. It's important for us to remember in regards to, our whole future of this country and the financial stability of this country. To talk about this debt ceiling, unfortunately. And there's a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of misinformation, and we're trying to bring you the correct information as much as we can here on the Talk Show America Show. We rely a lot on a lot of sources because I'm not an economist, folks, by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what? It doesn't take an economist to figure out that if you keep raising our debt ceiling and we keep raising our credit card limit, basically is what we're doing, to a point where we can't pay it, the disastrous results can be seen, even by, like that show Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, even by a fifth grader. The bottom line is it's common sense. So while the U.S. government and many of your politicians trying to make it sound like it's a complicated process, to some extent there are little intricacies in there. Yes, you have to you have to deal with that. There's a lot of red tape and evidence with political government, with federal government, as you know. But if you look at it as basically a simple idea of a household budget, it makes sense that we shouldn't be raising the debt ceiling. We can't pay our debts now. It's just unbelievable. But there are a lot of debt ceiling myths out there, folks, and I wanted to talk about a couple of them here so that people understand it. And this was written by Veronica D. Ruggie, I believe, a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And it dispels some common debt ceiling myths, and I say the person's name because I want you to understand that these are people that basically know somewhat what they're talking about. Okay, myth number one, folks, which is going to be dispelled here. If a deal is not reached by August 2nd, the United States will default on its debt. This is a fact, folks. Fact one: the Treasury Department can prioritize payments in order to avoid a default. We said this before. They can decide where they're going to pay the money so that we do not default. In other words, we're going to pay our debts first and other things second. So there's no default. in this area. In addition, folks, the Treasury could sell some of its assets in order to pay the bills. In other words, whatever the assets the Treasury may have, we can start selling them off in order to pay the bills besides. So, again, this sky is falling attitude about the debt ceiling is just not true. Now, as we said, there are two points here. The Treasury can prioritize payments in order to avoid a default. In other words, we're going to pay the interest on this this loan first before we do anything else. In addition, the Treasury needs to. It can sell some of its assets in order to pay the bills. So either way, so far we haven't defaulted. Myth number two. If the debt ceiling isn't raised, the government won't be able to pay Social Security benefits. Boy, have we heard that from Obama and the Democrats over and over and over again. You know why, folks? They're targeting the seniors. They're going after the seniors. They're trying to scare them, or the seniors or people that rely on Social Security for their income, disabled people, things of this nature. They're targeting retired people and seniors, trying to scare them. You won't get your Social Security payments if the debt ceiling isn't raised. This is a little trick, a little charade, as Representative Stark put it, a charade. This is the biggest charade going, because this is these are the facts, folks. There are approximately $2.6 trillion in the Social Security Trust Fund. Those assets can be used to pay benefits. Furthermore, there is already trillions of dollars of interagency debt that counts toward the $14.29 trillion debt limit. Treasury Secretary Geithner could convert that interagency debt into publicly held debt, preventing not only a technical default, but also preventing any delay in government payments, like Social Security. So it's BS, folks, because they know what they have to do if the debt ceiling isn't raised. They are just trying to scare you into believing that if you don't raise it, the sky is going to fall. There's contingency plans in place. Of course, with this administration, who knows? Maybe that's not true. But they're in place, folks. They're in place for any administration. I mean, it's a common sense approach. So there's approximately $2.6 trillion in Social Security trust funds, so therefore, most likely the assets aren't going to run out. It's going to be able to be used to pay the benefits. Although, every time I turn around, I always hear there's nothing left in the trust fund. But we'll go with it anyway, because these people know more than I do. About that. Okay. Now, myth number three, folks. The Treasury cannot use the Social Security Trust Fund to delay a default past August 2nd. These are the facts, folks. While the Treasury cannot use the money from the Social Security Trust Fund, it can disinvest from other trust funds to pay for the benefits. The Treasury Department could also make cash available for the trust fund by disinvesting some of the money used to buy government bonds. The disinvesting approach is a temporary accounting device that would help maintain the Treasury's cash flow. See, there's already these things in place, folks, just in case. These are the things that can be done. Now, the funny thing is we have to have university professors telling us these things. And not our own government, not the Obama administration, trying to explain, yes, you know, we really should, you know, even though, because they're in favor of raising the debt limit. This is why they're not telling you these things. Because, you know, Obama wants the credit card amount raised. So, even though the Treasury can't use the money from Social Security Trust Fund, it can disinvest from other trust funds to pay for the benefits. So, and the Treasury Department can also make cash available from the trust fund by disinvesting some of the money used to buy government bonds. It's a temporary accounting device that would help maintain the Treasury's cash flow. I mean, it's all there, folks. I'll try to get this up on the blog also. It's all there. The continuing scare tactics being used by the Obama administration and by the Democrats to try to scare you into thinking you won't get your Social Security payments, folks. You'll see the Republicans will be responsible for you not getting. I mean, Obama actually said that the Republicans will be responsible if you're not getting Social Security checks. They always target the seniors. They always target the weakest they can find. People that rely on Social Security, they target you into believing if we don't raise this debt ceiling, those mean Republicans, you know, you won't be able to get any money. You'll be broke. You'll be eating dog food and cat food. It's just not true, folks. There are ways that the payments can be made and that we can pay our debts. And the right here are three myths that we just demystified, basically. I mean, it's the scare tactics are out there, and they continue to try this. But don't fall for it, folks. Don't. Because these things are just not true. Now, these actions, of course, are nothing more than short-term budget gimmicks, as we like to call them. But they would allow the United States to avoid defaulting on the debt. Once these options are exhausted, however, there will be nothing left to do but raise the debt ceiling or dramatically cut government spending. You hear the words I wanted to get into there, folks? Dramatically cut government spending rather than raise the debt so that we can bring the debt down under control eventually. It's amazing indeed. It really is. But unfortunately, these are the facts. They are trying to scare you into believing that, you know, you're not going to get your Social Security payments, that we're going to default and our credit rating is going to be gone. And the sky's going to fall. And it's not. You know, I mean, they call them gimmicks because they are kind of gimmicks, folks, but it works. The government gimmicks this stuff all the time. It robs from Peter to pay Paul all the time. So why should anything be different now? I mean, you know, suddenly they're virtuous and they want to raise the debt ceiling as a way to pay their... This just is BS, folks. The debt ceiling does not need to be raised. As a matter of fact, as I said, we need to cap it, cut it, and balance the budget. You know, we got to cut spending. I mean, even this person says that. Veronica, I don't even know the name. It's a French name, obviously. It looks like Veronica DeRugi. I don't know. I apologize to that person if I'm saying it wrong. But and in this, he clearly says the only thing left after these gimmicks run out will be raise the debt ceiling, which we don't want to do, folks, on that, or dramatically cut government spending. Now, that sounds like a better idea to me. Dramatically cut government spending. That he's saying right here. That's the way to deal with the debt limit, so that we don't have to raise it. That's one of the ways. The funny thing is, it's not one of the ways that the Obama administration or the Democrats want to do this. And you've got to wonder why. Well, we know why, folks. Because they might have to cut some spending on some projects where they probably receive some serious campaign funding from, to keep their coffers full. So they have a problem with this. And there's probably some Republicans that have the same problem. All right, we'll be right back. After these messages here on the Talk Show America Show, don't go away.
Hey, Talk Show America fans, log on to ScottFuller.net and experience the Scott Fuller Show.
Medcare Diabetic, how may I help you?
Hello, I'm a diabetic with insurance, and I just heard you talking meter and free blood pressure monitor promotion on the radio.
Medcare Diabetic, accredited by the Joint Commission for National Quality Recognition, is offering to you a brand new talking monitor that draws blood from anywhere on your body. No more punctured fingers, no pain, no eye strain, and it talks to you. Listen.
112.
And it's multilingual.
112.
Call right now. Qualify and receive as a bonus a blood pressure monitor absolutely free.
That's great. How do I receive both my talking meter with testing supplies and my bonus blood pressure monitors?
If you have Medicare or insurance, Medcare Diabetic may send both your monitors and test supplies directly to your home at no cost. Insulin and syringes are available as well. Copay and deductibles may apply. Call 800-711-8821. That's 800-711-8821. Medcare Diabetic at 800-711-8821.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate it very much indeed. And we are at the fourth and final segment of the show, folks, today here on the Talk Show America Show here on July 26th. Folks, the last thing I want to talk about here, and we're still on the debt ceiling, but that's fine, is the real impact, folks, of a United States debt downgrade. In other words, if they downgrade our credit rating. Now, when Standard & Poor's moved up the time frame for a downgrade of the U.S. debt from 3 to 5 years to just 90 days, folks, David Beers, who is the director of the Sovereign Debt Division, explained that the rating of the U.S. debt is not on the verge of falling because of the debt ceiling debate in Congress, because the debt ceiling debate in Congress hasn't been resolved. So it's not falling because of that. It's not on the verge of falling because the debt ceiling hasn't been resolved. The debt ceiling is not the central preoccupation that we have, he said. We put the United States on credit watch because we're growing less certain that the political debate can be resolved. This was not merely about the debt ceiling. The problem with the U.S. is that there is no strategy, he said. There is a debate about what the strategy would be, but there's nothing close to a consensus. And we're wondering if a deal becomes possible, would that make a difference in the underlying fiscal dynamics? It's the long-term dynamics of reining in government spending that is the sticking point, he said. Raising the debt ceiling or not is impossible. Raising the debt ceiling or not is almost beside the point. It's the spending, and it always has been. You hear this, folks? It's the spending, and it always has been. So, you know, people, oh, if they don't raise the debt ceiling, they're going to lower our credit rating, and it's going to be horrible. Folks, you've got people here who are saying it's really not even about the debt raising the debt ceiling. It's more about the spending, and it always has been. We are out of control spenders. Even a credit card company is going to say sooner or later, we cannot give you any more money. We're not going to raise your debt limit anymore because you can't pay it. And that's basically what is being said here. We're going to be having to cut your credit rating because you keep spending and you can't pay for it. It's as simple as that, folks. And it's unfortunate that we have to see this, but it's true. It's the spending, and it always has been. Added the report from the Standard & Poor's, said, quote, if an agreement is reached to raise a debt ceiling, but nothing meaningful is done in terms of deficit reduction, the U.S. would likely have its rating cut to AA category. I mean, folks, I've got to read that again because there's points in here that have to be brought out. If an agreement is reached to raise the debt ceiling, but nothing meaningful is done in terms of deficit reduction, then the U.S. would likely have its credit rating cut to a AA category. In other words, they're going to cut the credit rating even if the debt ceiling is raised, but there's no meaningful plan for reducing the debt, the deficit reduction. It's as simple as that. So what they're telling you, and I just told you here, and a member of the Standards and Poor's is telling you, is it's the spending, and it always has been about the spending. You know, it's not about raising the debt limit so much. I mean, you know, it's about the spending, and can we afford to continue to raise the debt ceiling? Now, S&P went on to say, while the banks and broker dealers wouldn't likely suffer any immediate ratings downgrades, we would downgrade the debt of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the AAA-rated federal home loan banks, and the AAA-rated federal farm credit system banks to correspond with the U.S. sovereign rating. The impact of such a downgrade would touch every entity that is holding U.S. sovereign debt, including municipal bond funds, state government debt, and federal central banks as well. States would be impacted both directly and indirectly. Their cost of borrowing would increase, as well as the likelihood that federal funds flowing to the states would be curtailed. Cities, nonprofit hospitals, and universities would also share the pain, according to the S&P. In addition, the huge derivatives market, estimated at a mind-boggling $615 trillion, could also be impacted. So, folks, I mean, they're telling you right here, and I'll try to get this on the blog too. If an agreement is reached to raise the debt ceiling, but nothing meaningful is done to reduce the deficit, then we're likely to have our rating cut to AA category anyway. So all this scare tactic from Obama and his minions and the Democrats that, well, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, our credit rating is going to be cut. Folks, it appears that even if we raise the debt ceiling, our credit rating is going to be cut because we will not have a meaningful deficit reduction plan. I mean, this is clear. They're making it clear here. I'm definitely going to get this up because this is important reading. I think I got it up on Facebook. If some of you go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/TalkShowAmerica, Facebook.com/TalkShowAmerica. If you go up there, it's on the Facebook page. So you can read it immediately. I'll try to get it up on the Talk Show American as soon as I can, folks. It's been really busy. So, Standard & Poor's is saying, no agreement. If an agreement to raise the debt ceiling is brought, it's not going to be, yay, hey, look at us, we're all set. We did our job. Now you don't have to reduce our credit rating. Because Standards and Poor's is also going to look into that plan to see if there's anything in there that has significant, meaningful terms of deficit reduction. It's as simple as that, folks. So, just because the debt ceiling's raised, Standards and Poor's is already basically telling us that that doesn't mean we won't lose our AAA credit rating down to AA. It just does not mean that. So we have to listen to this. We have to listen to them. It's always been about the spending. It's always been about the spending, according to Standards and Poor's and representatives of Standards and Poor's. It's not about the debt ceiling rate being raised. It's about us controlling our spending. So here we go. I don't know if Obama's reads this stuff or not, or any of it, or Geithner or anybody else, or the Republicans or the Democrats in Congress read any of this stuff. But bottom line is, it's staring you right in the face. Here is a member of Standards and Poor's telling you, it's always been about the spending. If we don't have, we can raise the debt ceiling, but if we don't have meaningful, terms. To support deficit reduction, meaningful, meaning something that's going to work, not some meandering thing that's some little, tidbit to satisfy anybody, that they'll still reduce our credit rating. So there you go, folks. Raising the debt ceiling will not necessarily stop the credit rating from being reduced. If there's not meaningful deficit reduction spending, they will still raise. They'll still lower our credit rating. So, I mean, classic example here of why we should be listening to what's going on. You don't hear these things on the mainstream news media, folks. You don't hear them, from Congress, especially the Democrats and the president, because they don't want you to know these things, and they figure that you don't know. You know, they forget there's a thing called the Internet. They forget that this information is being shared all over the place. And it's a good thing that it is. Programs like this, this program, Jimmy Z's program, sharing information, folks, all the time, as much as we can, to try to get the people in this country to wake up to what's really going on around you. And here's a report from Standards and Poor's, which you can get, folks, and I'll have a link to it on the blog. And read it for yourself, which basically says exactly what I've been saying on this show for a while, and several others on other shows have been saying, is that it doesn't matter if we raise the debt ceiling or not. We shouldn't raise the debt ceiling, number one, because we're never going to get out of debt. But there's no guarantee that will stop the credit rating from sliding anyway, because if we don't have meaningful deficit reduction plans, they will still reduce our credit rating. It's being said in black and white right here, folks. Unbelievable indeed, but it's true. And as I said, you're not going to hear these things from the mainstream news media. You're not going to hear these things from the Obama administration, because they don't want you to know. Because when you read this, you'll suddenly start realizing, yeah, hey, they're saying that, as Clinton once said, it's the economy, stupid. I mean, in this case here, we have to say to Barack Obama, it's the spending, stupid. It's as simple as that. All right, that's all the time I have today here on the show, folks. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. I certainly appreciate it very much indeed. Don't forget the blog, the Talk Show American, folks, at talkshowamerica.com. And also don't forget that you can listen to the Talk Show America show on WTSAIR.com. WTSAIR.com, WTSAIR Conservative Talk, every day 10 a.m. And 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great day, folks. Stay safe.